What book, Randall, does the Old Testament begin with?
Exodus.
Exodus 24 is where the Old Testament begins. The 50 chapters of Genesis and the first 23 chapters of Exodus just lead up to that moment when God made a covenant with the children, the descendants of his friend Abraham. That's what Matthew, Mark, and Luke do in the New Testament. The New Testament does not begin with Matthew. It begins in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John do the same thing that Genesis and Exodus 1:23 do, in that they tell us why a covenant was needed, why a new covenant was needed, and what God did to bring that new covenant around. But the new covenant doesn't begin until Acts 2. But instead of just starting the study of Acts in Acts chapter 1, I want to back up to the moment Jesus died in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And then the first chapter of Acts. It makes 89 chapters, the whole books, but we won't be reading all the books. Just from the moment Jesus died, at the end of all four Gospels. Because I wanted to emphasize something that's been very difficult over the years to get to sink into people's minds, and that is this. Before the disciples received the Holy Ghost, they didn't know anything about the Son. We've been working on this for years, right? It's a very difficult concept to really sink in so that you can build on it. If the disciples and nobody in heaven and earth, for that matter, knew the Son, then what? But you got to get that foundation in there so you can start thinking, okay, if that, then what? That's where a lot of the Father and Son book came from. If nobody in heaven and earth knew what was good and what was evil in God's heart, what he saw as good and evil, if nobody knew who the Son was in heaven or earth, except the Father, then what was going on in the temptation? You remember what we got out of that? That was because I built it on the foundation of nobody knowing. All wisdom and knowledge were hidden in the Son. So until the Son was revealed, nobody had it. Nobody had God's wisdom. Nobody had God's knowledge of good and evil. Nobody knew. Satan thought he was good. He thought he was acceptable. He thought he was pleasing God with his service. Evil spirits did not know they were evil spirits. They thought, the way Psalm, I think it's 50 or 51, somewhere in there, said about an evil man, you thought I was altogether such a one as yourself. That's what Satan thought. He thought God was just like himself. So, I wanted to emphasize that the spiritual condition, not only of the disciples, but of all the people that loved Jesus, the women that ministered to him up in Galilee and followed him down to Jerusalem the last time he went. Ministering, it says, out of their own substance. What kind of spiritual condition were they in? Now, what clouds the issue is that in that time frame between the moment Jesus died, was buried and raised from the dead, until the New Testament was inaugurated in Acts chapter 2, a lot of miraculous things happened. And a lot of them happened with Jesus' followers. But it didn't happen because of them. We get it all clouded up in our minds. We need to separate it. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be separating some of your thoughts. Yeah, Jesus appeared in a locked room where all the disciples were, suddenly just appeared in the room. They didn't do that. That was God doing that. The disciples were in that locked room because they were afraid. That was their part. What was God's part? I want to separate in your minds what's God's part, what's their part.